You are listening to Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's podcast plays. Today's episode, Mrs. Green, written by Tammy Canada, featuring the voice talents of Dainisha Lizette, Nika Shakmorodova, Margaret O'Brien, and Jake Lewis. Stay tuned after the show for an interview with the playwright, Tammy Canada. And now, Mrs. Green, from Shakespeare Virtual Theater Company's podcast plays.
All right, I want you to listen to this message.
This is your neighbor next door, Mrs. Green. I was wondering if one of you could take me in for testing. I might have the virus. I know they do the drive-up test things. Rideshare is shut down, and I try calling a taxi cab. They won't take me. Sorry about your dogs.
Ugh, really? Sorry about your dogs. Do you want some tea?
Sure.
She's nuts if she thinks we're gonna spend 6 hours in a car waiting in line for her. And that cough, Jesus. And how many times has she called animal control on Trickster and Bay?
Half a dozen at least.
We know, Trickster, she's an awful old woman. But we love you. Yes, we do.
Do you think we should call her back?
No.
She might be expecting it, you know, before she tries someone else.
Who would she call? Have you ever seen anybody at her house besides the postman or the Schwan's guy?
It's kind of sad.
You reap what you sow.
Well, I'm going to call her and tell her we're too busy, that she needs to find someone else.
Where is Bait? Where is Bait? That's my boy. Good dog.
Oh, jeez, it's her. I really don't want to talk to her. Hello? Yes, I got your message. Well, you see, have you tried, like, the senior center or an agency like United Way? Yes, of course I understand. I'm sorry you feel like you're burning up and that you've taken your last aspirin. Let me talk to my husband. Bye. Miss Green, I will call you back. Oh my gosh, she's insane. Yelling at me while she's asking for a favor. Not a good look. Probably scared.
Flattered you're gonna use me as the bad guy. Tell her I said no. The man of the house said no. She's of that generation that respects my male privilege.
She's told me she's made all sorts of phone calls and no one has called her back.
With good reason.
Is it because of her? Well, maybe. I don't know what to do. All so uncertain government mixed messages. We could drop her off at the emergency room entrance. Not spend a lot of time with her in the car. Sort of like Dine and Dash we used to do.
Still have to be in that car with her and that cough.
But we could wear mittens, winter mittens. And we could wear a scarf over our face.
I'm surprised that's not on a pandemic tip list. Oh my God, it's her.
Stop barking, please.
Shh, she'll hear you. Duck.
I'll be right there. I need to put on my mittens and scarf.
The flu-invested tattletale has arrived.
Mrs. Green, I thought I told you I needed to talk to McKinley.
Couldn't wait. They're not around, are they? They bark all the time. Keeps me awake when I'm napping. You shouldn't leave them alone so much.
McKinley took them to the back.
Why are you dressed for winter?
For her protection? I don't even think you need to be tested.
My doctor gave me permission to get tested. See, I printed out his memo.
I am so sorry, but McKinley feels like we'd be putting ourselves in danger of catching the virus if we take you to the testing station.
That ain't very neighborly.
Calling animal control on Trickster and Bait without talking to us first ain't very neighborly.
I left notes for you all.
I never saw them.
I did leave one.
But why not just talk to us in person? We're talking right now.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I'm feeling I might collapse on your front doorstep. Right here. Right now. Did you hear me?
Let me talk to McKinley.
Don't you work every day?
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm assuming you're capable. No need to get permission. Can we go, please?
I'll be right back.
Go ahead and shut your door on me, then. I'll just crumble right here, right now. Why, I bet you treat your dogs better than you're treating me.
I will call the 911.
They're only coming out for extreme emergencies. I might be one soon, but I ain't one yet.
I'll get right back to you. I promise. McKinley! McKinley!
Good. You got rid of her.
No, she's still waiting on the front porch for me. I just don't know what to do. What should I do?
Leave her on the porch?
I have to give her an answer. Should I take her?
No.
If I tell her no, I won't be able to think of myself as a good person.
You are a good person.
Not if I don't help her. But the rational side of me says I'll catch the virus if I help her. I have underlying respiratory issues. You do too.
Wow. I'd forgotten about that. I never think about my exercise asthma. Makes our decision easy, then.
I've decided to do it.
Let me talk to her.
No, I really need to do this. Mrs. Green? She's not here. Mrs. Green? Mrs. Green?
Mrs. Green fainted on your front porch. I'm taking her to the emergency room.
Where?
Laying down in the back seat.
She has the coronavirus.
Figured as much. I gotta get going.
Aren't you worried you might catch it?
Well, I often think, why bother to plan or worry if something will happen that will decide things for me anyway? But in this case, I'll be proactive.
Oh.
Was that Willow you were talking to? I thought it was her Buick.
Yes, she's taking Miss Green to the ER.
Good. Choice made then.
That's what Willow said.
You have just heard Mrs. Green by Tammy Canada, and now an interview with the playwright.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You have just had the pleasure of listening to Mrs. Green by Tammy Canada, who is with us right now to talk about her experience as a writer for this show, other work she's done, and let's give her a warm round of applause. If you're driving right now, please do not do the round of applause. You can just smile and nod. We don't want you to take your hands off the wheel. Here's Tammy Canada. How are you, Tammy?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well. I am thrilled to speak with you right now. The first question, and this is probably something that the listeners are curious about too, I would hope. The play Mrs. Green, it's about, obviously, the pandemic, about coronavirus, although I suppose it could apply to any global viral tragedy that may yet still befall us. But as I'm sure you know, even something like the coronavirus or the pandemic has been politicized in our country, no matter which side of the aisle you're on. When you were writing this or thinking about it, did you did that cross your mind that this might, you know, strike a certain note with some people as far as the statement that it might be making?
No, not at all, because this was written probably in March of 2020. So we were just at the very beginning of trying to figure out what was going on.
I see.
So it's I tried to capture that sense of not knowing what it is. And no, I never thought that it would be politicized like it has been.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things that, speaking for myself, of course, that attracted me to it is that, you know, it is very honest, I think, in many ways with, you know, the people's reactions to it. I mean, I think that we all have had that moment where we want to help, you know, someone, but we're mm-hmm. also kind of worried about, you know, our health and safety as well. It is a very funny play. That's one of the things I enjoyed about it, the comedic elements. I think that when we are in such dire straits, it's important to remember to laugh a lot of the time. Tell us about kind of like your process of writing this. Did the just idea of writing about, you know, the pandemic come to you first? Did you kind of see the whole thing in your head, or was there another kind of way you went about it?
Well, it was part of a pandemic collective, which asked for pieces for their project Outbreak. And so they got a bunch of submissions and they just did all these pieces. So it was at the very beginning of the pandemic. It was written pretty quickly at the very beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's what you heard is the result.
Yeah. So it came to you naturally. That's great. So tell us also about, you know, your other experience with writing, not just this. Is this the first piece that you've done? Do you have a whole?
Oh no, I've done, lots of pieces. I've, have had two one acts performed in New York. Wow. And in 2017, mm-hmm. I think 17, yes, 17, I had a piece done at the Brick Theater in Brooklyn, a full length called Uncle Rooster. So I have experience with writing pieces. And then I'm have been pretty heavily involved with the local theater group here in Denver, which surprisingly is pretty large. And there's been such an influx of people coming to Denver from all different parts of the United States that it's really made a much more competitive environment, but also a richer environment.
Absolutely. I've never been to Denver. I hope to get there someday.
Oh, you'll like it. You'll love it.
Is it the Mile High City, or am I confusing it with something?
No, it is the Mile High City. Mile High City.
All right. Yeah, I'll have to acclimate myself to the Austin, I guess, first before I get there. So you said you wrote a full length. This is a 10-minute play / radio play. It wasn't first written as a radio or audio play, is that correct?
That is correct. It was written as a 10-minute play, and then you asked me to write it mm-hmm. as a radio play, which I found to be a really interesting exercise to do, because you have to think about things much differently. So I researched it. I researched how to write a radio play and found how to format a radio play script, the cheap and easy way.
That's the best way.
Exactly what I did with this.
Yeah, script. Right now, listener, she was holding up a book or a little notebook there with that title.
That title, yeah.
Yes, so she did her homework. So this was your first radio play. Is it something that you might want to explore more in the future? Or do you think you're now just going to go back to, you know, let's call it the traditional format for theater on a stage?
I think I am capable of doing both. What I found really interesting about the radio play is that you really have to think about it auditorially. Yes. And think, is this going to work? Is this going to convey some sort of sense? Mm-hmm. And I found that very interesting to do, as opposed to just writing a 10-minute play where you can have the visuals and all this. It was just very interesting to me.
Yeah, I found when I've written them and looking at other scripts that I've received, there are some writers who get it, who realize that it's the sounds almost have to tell the story as well. You know, they have to give you the setting, they have to give you the tone, and those aren't things we generally think about right away with traditional theater pieces. The last question I have for you, Tammy, is what's next for you, or what are you working on now? Or are some people have said that the pandemic has sort of stifled their creativity. Is that the case with you, or has it kind of lit a new fire in you for your writing?
That's a really interesting question. So I think I'm a pretty consistent writer. I don't know that it's lit a fire underneath me or if it's stymied me, but I'm working on a full-length piece called Jeremiah. And probably about 15 years ago or so, I did a collaboration about Columbine, since I'm from Colorado. Right. And then we recently had that shooting up in Boulder at the King Supers. And I was thinking that really, nothing has changed since I did that collaboration. It was called Bingle Boys Columbine through the Leader Project. Okay. And then also the guy who shot up the store in King Supers bought the gun that at a store that's within 3 minutes walking distance from where I live. So that was the impetus.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that is an impetus.
I understand. So unlike Mrs. Green, that probably has a little bit more of a political edge to it, I would say.
Yes, definitely. I also think there's humor in it too. But
that's good.
But yes, much more of an edge.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I would love to get a chance to read that. And Tammy, don't want to take up more of your time, so thank you so much for joining me to talk a little bit about Mrs. Green and your experience as a writer and letting us do your terrific show. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity and for my first radio play.
Hey, there you go. We're the first for you for your radio play. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Tammy Cannaday live from Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City. You heard her right here on Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's Podcast Plays.
Thank you for listening to Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's Podcast Plays and Mrs. Green by Tammy Cannaday. Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast to be notified for the latest episodes when they become available. If you think you have a script that would make a good podcast play, we'd love to read it. Visit www.jakespearevtc.com/submit. We'll be back next week with another episode of Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company's Podcast Plays. See you then.